Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The draft is just 35 hours, 57 minutes, and 45 seconds away. Joining us now to get into it is our Steelers insider, all-around good guy. He's super tapped in. It's Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and he's so important, he is sponsored. Brought to you by LGKG, the born and raised Western PA injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases personally.
That sounded good, huh, Ray?
he's so important, Crowley will butcher the sponsor. The sponsor, by the way, LGKG, the born and raised Western PA injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases personally. Nailed it. You know what? The first time didn't work out so good with the Steelers either. When they took Kenny Pickett, might the second time be the charm, Ray? Shedeur Sanders, 21st overall. What are you thinking? What are you hearing?
Yeah, maybe Omar can nail this pick. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Right now, guys, I'm like 70% it's going to be a D lineman. But, you know, to break it down further, probably 15% running back and then probably 15% quarterback. That's kind of where I am right now. I am acknowledging that Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart could be that guy. And, you know, I just think what's going on in the last week, you know, and I don't want to read too much into what Mike said yesterday, but I don't remember Mike ever, like, talking in detail about a college prospect the way he did in that forum yesterday. So we'll see if it's a smokescreen or not, but where there's smoke, there might be fire. And I am acknowledging that quarterback is a possibility at 21.
Okay, so I just want to nail this down here, Ray. 15% if a quarterback is there, or factoring in that those guys might be taken?
Yeah, factor in everything. Like, I just think that D-line is probably still going to be their target, but let's see those guys are off the board. Let's say that there's such a high grade on Shedeur Sanders over their D lineman that, you know, maybe they would end up taking Sanders if they have that grade on them. So we'll see what happens. But you know, I think Omarion Hampton, Shedeur Sanders, I think they're as much in play as a guy like Derek Harmon, Kenneth Grant, or Walter Nolan.
What if it is Omarion Hampton? What would you say? How would you feel about that pick at 21?
I kind of feel the same way that I would about taking a quarterback at the same portion of the draft. Right, Kenny Pickett was pick number 20. I think Najee was like 22 or 24, something like that. And you know, it would be like, okay, we're over that trauma or whatever you want to say about a failed first round pick, and we're going to do it again now. I do think running back is a little bit different than quarterback. You know, I think Hampton is the better prospect than Najee Harris. I think he has more explosiveness. I think there's more big playability there, but it is still a running back, and those guys get banged up more. They got more touches you know, than any other position. There's a higher risk of injury. So even though I think Hampton would be a good choice, he's a better prospect than Harris, I think you have to acknowledge the risk that there is taking a running back in the first round.
Ray Fittipaldo with us, of course, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We know the Steelers have the 21st overall pick in the draft. They have the 83rd pick. If you're a betting man, Ray, do you think they get another pick somewhere between 21 and 83?
Yeah, I think they would like to, but you know, it's you have to have somebody who's willing to move up. And then the most important part of that equation is if you trade down five spots, like, you better have five targets that you would be happy with. And, you know, I think you guys heard Mike and Omar talk about it yesterday during the news conference. They are so heavily invested in the draft process. Like, they go around to these pro days and they bring these guys in. They spend a lot of time with them. And Mike was saying yesterday, invariably, we are going to like someone where we pick in the first round just because they get to know these guys so well. So, yeah, trading back is a possibility, yes, but there would have to be the right circumstance in order for that to happen.
Ray, do you think, regardless, that the Steelers will take a quarterback in this draft outside of the first round?
Yeah, you know, it certainly seems that way with the guys that they, you know, brought in for visits and the work they did on the pro day circuit. But the draft would have to fall a certain way. Like, the guy they would want, like, in the third round would have to be there. So, you know, let's say, I think the way it broke down, they brought in four and they went to four or five pro day. So, you know, there's nine quarterbacks that they scouted. I don't know how many that they really, really like. Chances are they probably don't like nine out of nine. Maybe they like three out of nine, maybe like four, five out of nine. So the draft would have to fall the right way. I think they're going to take a quarterback, but I can certainly see the draft unfolding in a certain way and then not taking one. And then you just go the free agent route, you know, who's left among the free agent quarterbacks. And, you know, you fill out your roster that way.
Ray Fittipaldo with us here on the Fan Morning Show. We have to ask you an Aaron Rodgers question at some point, but I don't feel like doing that now. So Walter Nolan, Kenneth Grant, Derek Harmon, three defensive linemen. You figure at least one of those guys, maybe all three, are there at 21. Who do you like best, and who do you think's the best scheme fit for the Steelers, Ray?
Well, I think Harmon and Grant probably the best scheme fits. Probably have to use your imagination a little more with Kenneth Grant because they haven't really had that type of a body type on their line in quite some time. I think he would end up being your base nose, but if you take him that high, he's also going to bump out and play three technique and some other spots in sub packages. And we've talked about this before. Harmon, same body type as Cam Hayward, little different type of a player. He's not a Cam Hayward prototype, but I think learning behind Cam would be a tremendous opportunity for him. Nolan is the wild card. Nolan is he's the best athlete of that group, but he's a penetrating three technique, and they typically, you know, they don't usually have their three techniques play that style. Maybe they would change for him. Maybe they would ask him to, you know, to take on more blocks and read and react and that type of thing. But I think Nolan is probably the most athletic of that group. Nolan probably has the most potential, but there would have to be some adjustments made, I think, with their scheme if they took him.
No first-round quarterback for the Steelers, and Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign. So that means Mason Rudolph is the quarterback. You think he does well this year? Think he does good?
Yeah, I think they can win eight or nine games with Mason Rudolph. I don't know if that's enough to get you into the playoffs. I don't know if that's enough to get you a playoff victory. But I do not think that they would be a bad team with Mason Rudolph. You know, just being around that team, this will be, what, his sixth year in the NFL, seventh year in the NFL, sixth with the Steelers. And just being in that locker room, those guys just gravitate towards him. Even when he was like the backup quarterback, those guys in that locker room just really liked playing for him. So I think there would be that, you know, that good chemistry vibe with him. I think he's a good enough quarterback that they wouldn't fall off the face of the earth if, you know, if he had to start 17 games.
Ray Fittipaldo with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Okay, same question, but with Aaron Rodgers. If they'd win 8 or 9 with Rudolph, how many do you think they'd win with Rodgers? And where do things stand with the mercurial quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably a chance to win 1 or 2 more games with Aaron Rodgers. And listen, maybe if you get the right matchup in the playoffs, he can get you a playoff win. You know, the thing everyone wants to know about Rodgers now is there a deadline? And it just doesn't – it certainly doesn't seem like there's a deadline for him. And I think eventually there will be one for the Steelers, but we've been talking about it for weeks. Everyone thought, oh, it's going to be the draft. Well, it's not the draft, okay? Now everyone's pointing towards OTAs. I mean, OTAs make sense because you would want him to get that extra 3 weeks with his receivers and his line in May and June. But, you know, I could also see a scenario where they let him walk in at a later point and they roll with him there. Now, that wouldn't be ideal. But I just don't get the sense that the Steelers are all that bothered by sitting around and waiting. I think they have more information than we do, and I think they're willing to let this play out a little bit.
Ray, this was wonderful. I cannot wait to talk next week about guys that are on the Steelers roster. I guess one more thing, actually.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones says he's got a couple of big-time deals he's working on right now. I find it funny. Like, Omar Khan didn't want to say Jack. Like, Tomlin would expand a little bit. Omar didn't want to say Jack. Well, Jerry Jones, what does he care? He's drinking Johnny Walker Blue on his yacht somewhere, probably as we speak right now. He says, yeah, we're working on 2 big-time trades. People have tried to connect dots, like Trey Hendrickson for the Bengals is available. Maybe Tyreek Hill. How about George Pickens? Do you think he'd be on the move?
Yeah, listen, every GM is open for business if you give them a great offer that they can't refuse. But, I don't know that the Steelers are going to get that type of an offer for George Pickens just because of some of the baggage that comes with him. But, yeah, listen, if you can get a second-round pick for George, I think they would do that. But if not, I think they're more than happy to carry him on the roster going into the season and hoping he has a good final year with the Steelers before he heads off in free agency.
Raymond, this was wonderful. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you for your time.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Ray.
See you, buddy. Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, your personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We will react to that conversation with Ray coming up next. I will react to a text right now. Ha ha, you guys wasted a week's worth of airtime talking about Sanders for Fittipaldo to say there's a 15% chance. Ha 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 ha. Just so everyone's clear on this, the Steelers don't know who they're picking at 21. They don't know. They've got an idea.
Right.
They probably know 6 or 7 guys who are available, could be available when they've done their mocks and their practice stuff for this draft. They have an idea of who they're going to take. Shador Sanders is going to be on that list of 6 or 7.
Yes, he is.
That's a reality. And we are talking about all the realities. But Mike Tomlin wasn't sitting up there at the podium yesterday knowing that Shador Sanders is or isn't going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. You just don't know. The Titans know that Cam Ward's going to be their guy.
Yep.
I'm sure the Browns know who they're planning on taking. And I'm sure the Giants have pretty good intel on who the Browns are taking and thus know who they're going to get. And maybe it for the Patriots. Other than that, everyone's kind of guessing here, folks. And so we're guessing too. That's what we sit around and talk about at the bar. What do you think the Steelers are going to take at 21? It's part of the fun. So, lighten up, Francis. 412-928-9370. We'll react to Ray coming up next. Ray.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fittipaldo joined us in the last segment. We love Ray. Ray's good at his job. How good, we'll tell you in a second. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I guess it was about 5 seconds. Ray Fittipaldo, nailed a couple of picks in his mock draft last year, which is not easy to do. It just isn't. Someone tweeted him, would be interested to see how accurate Fittispaldo, is how they wrote it, was last year in his mock draft. So the Thursday of the draft last year, Raymond, round one, Pittsburgh Steelers, Troy Faltanu, which I don't think a lot of people thought that the Steelers would actually be able to get him. Now, he had him at 20. They obviously moved up and got him. He had the Steelers taking Roman Wilson in the third round. Two guys in a mock? It's pretty damn good.
Yep.
So Ray,
he jinxed him, too.
What do you mean? Because neither one of those guys stayed healthy.
Yep. Good job, Ray.
People don't like looking at things this way, but I think everyone should. You're getting an extra first and an extra third this year. Like, Troy Faltanu did not play for the team. He played a handful of snaps. That Denver game when he was rotating with Broderick Jones. How stupid was that? I'll answer my own question. It was really stupid. Let's rotate tackles in the NFL. What the hell? But they believe in Faltanu so much that he missed like all of training camp. And they still, the second he was healthy, got him in the lineup.
Yep.
So they believe he's going to be really good. I happen to share that belief. And then Roman Wilson, I don't know, he's not the biggest guy, but he plays hard. He's willing to block for you, could be a possession receiver. And you didn't see him at all last year. He played a few, special teams snaps, ran a couple of routes, and then he got hurt again. And then he had trouble getting on the moving train. Two guys that they thought would help them big time last year. And you're going to get to see what they can do for you this year. It's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Or it should be. And if it's not, you got concerns. I'm obviously more bullish on Faltanu, but you were absolutely hurting for wide receiver depth late last year, and Roman Wilson did not help you at all. Now, I guess that could scare you, but with a full offseason and a training camp, I'm bullish on him.
Yeah.
We'll see what it
I mean, this wide receiver room is starting to shape up pretty nicely. I mean, if your third receiver is Roman Wilson or Calvin Austin, that's pretty good.
I think so.
That's pretty good. I like it a lot. You'll probably add like another maybe veteran. Maybe a draft pick. I don't know. I don't think that they'll draft anybody high, but maybe like later. But a veteran receiver would be nice.
Sure. Absolutely. And there'll be guys that get cut after the draft happens every year, and they fit more in that depth role anyhow.
Skoronic.
Yeah. And he's back. Yeah. And people, look, he's Ben Skoronic. He's not sexy. He's not going to go out there and catch you five balls for 50 yards every game. He's a hell of a special teams player, and those guys matter too. They just do. Ray said he'd give it about a 15% chance the Steelers take a quarterback 21st overall, but not because they wouldn't want one. They're not going to move up and get a guy. There's no question. Like Omar Khan said so much yesterday. You don't have the draft capital in this draft to be able to go up and get a quarterback. But if he's there at 21, you wonder what they would do. He has it at about 15%. And like we just said, Ray's good at this. He nailed the first round pick last year, and he nailed the third round pick last year in his mock draft. But if he is there, I think they take him.
Me too.
I think they take him. And then there's the three defensive linemen that Ray was talking about. Walter Nolan would be the one who, I mean, I think he'll definitely be there. Here are those character concerns. And I don't always love talking about this because there's going to be people who like Walter Nolan, and there's going to be people perhaps with an axe to grind with Walter Nolan, people that may have been offended by this guy personally. You just don't know. I don't know how much stock to put into it. But Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reported that Nolan has a history of walking off the practice field mid-session due to frustration. Some scouts have raised concerns about his maturity and perceived lack of motor, sometimes take plays off. And then there are multiple reports that state that some teams have removed Nolan altogether from their draft boards.
That's what I would do.
Because of their character concerns.
Just from what you just said.
If I'm the Eagles, I'd take him. They have a history of that. If I'm the Steelers, I don't.
Not even touch him.
Now, let's say you find a second round pick. And you use that second round pick, I don't know, on a running back or on a quarterback. If you don't draft one in round one, let's say at 83rd, he's sitting there because he's been taken off of draft boards. But he's that kind of talent where he grades out as a first round guy. Do you take a swing at him in the third round?
No. I need a guy that can play.
I know.
And needs to be on the field and not wanting to walk off the field.
Volunteers, hostages, things
no
of that nature.
No chance. I'm sorry. Like, character concerns, like, if you're beating people up, like, all right, like, you know, like, if you get in trouble for that.
That's a Woe Sikkim thing.
Yeah, like,
if you're beating people up, you might beat people up on the field.
Exactly. Like, whatever.
But if I need to,
I need to be able to count on you.
Kick your ass into shape.
I need to be able to count on you.
Yeah.
If I can't count on you, no chance.
If I'm the Eagles, I take talent, 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 and they've done that, and it's worked out for them. This guy sounds like George Pickens, but at the defensive line position. And what you need really above all else at D-line is that effort.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, like the motor's in question? Come on.
I talk about this all the time. Like, this play sticks out in my mind. The Steelers got absolutely blasted by the Browns a few years ago. Mike Pettine was the head coach. The Browns were sitting there at 6-2. I think they won the game like 31-10 or something like that. But they ran one of those tight end throwback passes where he leaks out. You know, Pitt did a lot of that actually this year. So he leaks out, tight end, wide open. Nobody's even on the TV screen. You know who chases his ass down and tackles him? Cam Hayward.
Yeah.
Like 30 yards down the field. Brett Kiesel would do that kind of stuff. You need a guy with a motor. But if you take Shedeur Sanders 21st overall, and it's looking like you... Man, it's either Walter Nolan at 83 or some guy who can only play nose tackle for me. I think I still might have to take the swing. I might have to. You need a Cam Hayward replacement. And I just maybe gave you a lot of reasons why he wouldn't be the Cam Hayward replacement.
There's got to be other D linemen out there. I would take a guy that had a lower evaluation than that guy.
Who I think I could coach and
yes.
get more out of
yep.
instead of having to get more out of this guy. You know who? Remember McCullers?
Yeah.
What was he? 6'9". Just an absolute beast. He was on the roster for like 7 years. And once a preseason and once a regular season, he would be like the dude, like Michael Orr's character in The Blind Side, where he would just take the center and he'd drive him all the way back to the quarterback. That guy was on scholarship for 7 years.
Yep.
But they just couldn't get him to consistently have that motor going. And I wanted to smack him upside the head. I would have needed to get on your shoulders, Dorn. But like, dude, you are 6'9", and you have that in you? Just do it. Just do it more consistently.
Play with Michael Orr.
Was he cool?
Yes. He was real upset about the movie, though.
Yes, he was.
Like, in real life. Like, he was like, the movie's fake. I remember we were sitting there. He's like, I was talking to him at his locker. He's like, that whole movie's fake.
I think he came out and said that on the record, too. Yeah. Yeah. Sandra Bullock in that movie, though.
I mean,
sweet sassy molasses.
Good
Malassi.
Lord.
And I'm respectfully, that is a beautiful woman who has aged like fine wine.
Mm.
I think I'd go and live with the Tuies, too. Well. I don't care if you're using me to make money. I'll come and live with you. She had the hots for Nick Saban, too.
Yep.
He would never to miss Terry.
No, never.
Maybe a wayward thought, though.
Yeah, he thought about it.
Mm-hmm. That was LSU Nick Saban, who was actually Alabama's coach at the time when they filmed the movie, but he had to put the LSU gear
on.
That's
right.
It's very weird to me. Anyway, coming up next, we'll take a brief respite from the draft talk. We'll get back into it quickly. We've got Doug Whaley from 9 until 10, but the Buccos break them up. 18 hits, 9 runs. Will we see the same lineup today? John Wehner's out in Anaheim. We'll see if he wakes up to have this conversation. We'll talk to him about them Buccos coming up next. John Wehner joins us now, and we were a little worried that John might not be awake out there on the West Coast. How you doing, Rock? What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing great. Always up at 4:30 a.m. or whatever that time is.
Break up the Bucks, Rock. I mean, 18 hits, 9 runs, Andrew McCutchen with a blast. I mean, all the big-time dudes brought it last night, and that's what we were talking about last week. Yeah, okay, so Jack Sawinski hasn't looked good, and that's an understatement, and Tommy Pham, and the list goes on. But if Kutch and Cruz and Reynolds and Bart can hit, they should have the pitching to be able to win some series here, no?
For sure, yeah, I think that's huge. You know, your big guys, you know, they got to do their thing. And it's huge when, especially that middle of the lineup, you know, McCutchen, Bart, Reynolds, whomever. Yeah, they got to drive in runs. And boy, probably the most complete game that we've had this year. I mean, I think everything was pretty good. You know, I thought the defense was solid. I thought we pitched well.
Bullpen was great.
Kirby, yeah, bullpen, 5 no-hit innings. That Soriano is no joke. I mean, his velocity was down a little bit. I mean, this guy's throwing, 100 miles an hour, averaging 99 almost on the year, but he wasn't throwing as hard. But he has a good curveball, good slider. I think the Pirates did a good job of not chasing, gotten to good counts, chased him early, and so, yeah, I hopefully this gets him going. Especially, like you said, the offense has to be a little more consistent. And like you said, if you're swinging the bats and you're coming up with the big hits with runners in scoring position, you'll start winning series, and that's what this team needs to start doing.
John, have you sensed some confidence from Bednar's last two performances?
Yeah, I think especially last night. I think I said this here before. He was an all-star, and I think he was an all-star because he was dominant with his fastball, especially. He has the curveball and the split, but he got people out with fastball, and he came at guys with the fastball. I think because it's gotten hit some last year and this year, and I think that's where his struggle started, because his fastball that guys used to swing through or pop up or not hit has been getting turned around, and I think that's. For whatever reason, because the velocity wasn't down or anything else like that. He had the same velocity going right at guys, and for whatever reason, guys were getting to it, and guys were driving it. And when that happens, I think that's when you start going to your curveball more, or your split more, or maybe you're not as aggressive in the strike zone, you're behind the count. But last night was the first time, in a while that I've seen him just come at him with fastball and got the swing and miss on the fastball. He looks exactly like the all-star that he was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to see, and we're all rooting hard for David Bednar. I'm also rooting hard, John, for the Pirates to have a consistent lineup. And so you have 18 hits last night and 9 runs. I would just take the lineup card, and I would copy and paste, and I would run the same thing out there tonight. What do you think?
Yeah, good call. Why not? I think, they were all having fun. And, and the guys that were in there, those averages are coming up. It just seems like just a few days ago we had 4 guys or 5 guys that were in that lineup that were hitting below 200, And I think last night I looked up at the scoreboard towards the end of the game, and I'm like, hey, looks a lot better now. You see a lot of twos, all these averages are starting to climb, and I think when you start hitting, collecting hits, you start gaining confidence, and then when you're confident, you're more likely to put together better at bats. So I think it was hard to blame them for changing the lineup so often. I think when you're not hitting and you have so many guys that are struggling, sometimes you got to try new things and give guys some opportunities. So that what we saw last night was basically the lineup the majority of the time, and that's a good call. Keep it the same.
John, you gave me the advice for the first pitch, man up, and I did not throw a strike, but I also did not bounce it, and it's all because of you, big guy.
Wow, I forgot all about that. So you did good?
I did okay.
He got it to the glove of Henry Davis.
Tried to break his thumb.
Oh, so you let it go, too? You let it rip?
Yeah, there's a hitch in the delivery. I'm going to have to talk to the pitching coach, but it got there.
Did you go up on the mound, or did you go in front?
I knew we couldn't have this conversation, John, if I would tell you that I threw it from flat ground. So I was right on the rubber.
Nice. And you got it there.
Got it there. I'll have to send you the video. I'm sure you're just, you need to see it.
I'm surprised it wasn't like on the news or something. I thought that they're going viral. I mean, that's big stuff.
No, and that's what's not fair. Goodness. If I would have tripped and fell, or I would have bounced the thing 2 times, that's when it would have gone viral. But nobody loves the athletic success.
Oh my gosh, you're so cocky. That's so much fun.
All right, go back to bed, Wayner. Hopefully when we talk next week, the Pirates will have that that left number in the win-loss column a lot closer to the right number.
That would be great. I mean, this is not an easy trip, obviously. No. going through LA and Anaheim. But yeah, congratulations. Seriously, I can't wait to see the video. Really proud of you.
Really proud of you. Thanks, Dad. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
What a guy. John Wehner, the best.
He sounded very proud.
He did sound proud. He's groggy. He's tired.
He's going to be underwhelmed.
He probably hasn't had his cup of coffee yet.
You know why it hasn't made the news? Like, it was spectacularly, like, it was just the most average pitch you'll ever see. There was nothing spectacular.
We grade on a curve, buddy. We grade on a curve.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people were expecting him not to even get it to that point.
That's right.
Right. So, like, he didn't do bad, but he didn't do good enough for it to be memorable.
You know what I am? I'm Mike Tomlin.
Forgettable.
I outperformed my own low expectations.
Yeah.
Is exactly what happened there.
But Mike Tomlin's on the news all the time.
All right, so one guy in the lineup last night for the Pirates didn't have a hit. That's Enmanuel Valdez. Everybody else had at least a hit, and you had six guys with multiple hits. If it's not the same exact lineup tonight, independent of who's pitching for the Angels, we riot.
Yep.
We riot.
Yep.
And one last thing here on the Bucks before we're back into draft talk. Doug Whaley from 9 until 10. They're 8-7 with Andrew McCutchen in the starting lineup. They are 1-8 without him. Play his ass every single night until he specifically asks you not to. I don't think it should be that hard. 1-8 without him. 8-7 with him. You don't have enough good hitters. He's still a good hitter. Play him every damn night. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. More on the NFL draft coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Doug Whaley going to join us for a full hour. He'll be here in the flesh the day before the NFL draft. We'll have our guy Pat Bostigan with us for 3 hours tomorrow, the day of the draft.
Yes, sir.
Think he might want to break down some quarterback prospects, Dorn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. 35 hours, 8 minutes, and 10 seconds away from round one of the NFL draft beginning, and we have a new mock draft from a guy who is absolutely locked in, and that is Peter Schrager, now of ESPN, formerly of the NFL Network. He has Jackson Dart going to the Giants, 26th overall. They trade into the first round again. The Rams would be the team moving out. He has the Steelers taking Shedeur Sanders, 21st overall, and that is being mocked more and more frequently. And here's the deal with Schrager. He only does one mock. It's based on the latest that he's hearing from sources around the league. So, you know, some places you'll go to like Pro Draft Talk or whatever, and they'll do based on need, based on how they have their prospect rankings. Peter Schrager's going off of what he's hearing from league sources. So Ray Fittipaldo gives the Steelers about a 15% chance of taking a quarterback. Peter Schrager thinks it's going to be Shedeur Sanders. Meanwhile, guys like Mel Kiper, or I guess only Mel Kiper, have Shedeur Sanders as the number one overall quarterback in this draft.
So Schrager has both quarterbacks on the board when Steelers pick.
Yes, he does.
Interesting.
Well, I want that to be the case.
Yep.
If that's the case, we get to find out if we got smokescreen Tomlin yesterday or if we got Mike Tomlin just gushing about a prospect that he loves yesterday.
Yep.
Because he did lay it on thick, talking about all the intangibles for Shedeur Sanders. And I get that it's got people spooked because of the Kenny Pickett thing. I do need a quarterback that's tough. I do want a quarterback with grit.
Yes.
I want a guy who's going to play through pain. I want a guy who is going to keep his head on straight whenever he's dealt with getting sacked 9 times in a game, which, you know, I don't know that that happened at Colorado. I'll have to go back and look, but he got hit an awful lot. And, I mean, we saw it here in Pittsburgh. We did. Phil Jurkovec. Phil Jurkovec was a really good college quarterback, and then he got hit a million times his last year at Boston College, and by the time he got to Pitt, he was gunshot.
Yep.
He's seeing ghosts. Now, Shedeur will run into pressure, but he's also looking to make a play, and he has not been adversely affected the way that, just to, again, pull a random example out of my ass, that we saw happen with Phil Jurkovec, and I think that's noteworthy. He also has a high football IQ, will throw guys open, and is a much more accurate passer than Kenny Pickett was. Accuracy was one of Kenny's calling cards, no doubt about it. This guy's more accurate than Kenny. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's an apples-to-apples thing. I just think the Steelers are picking 21st. They picked 20th in the 2022 draft, and people are scorned. Scorned lovers, Dorn.
scared.
I understand. I understand, but it's two different prospects.
That's so, right.
And you need a quarterback. What are you going to do? Just hide forever and not draft a quarterback because of what happened before? No. You redo it and figure it out again. I mean, you figure it out until it's figured out.
I'll tell you the one thing I don't want to see, and we got a tweet from our guy. If Angela in Beachview is the queen of the Fan Morning Show callers, tweeters, and texters, then Matt Zagarelli would be the king, although that means that they'd be in an interesting relationship. Anyway, he said Mason Solid would probably do well and win 9 games, probably sneak into the playoffs. I don't know if I'd go that far. My problem is it just doesn't move the needle for me. A Rudolph-led team doesn't get me at the training camp in July. I could not agree more.
Right.
Last year, there was excitement because you had Fields and Russ. The year before that, there was excitement because Kenny Pickett was coming off of the greatest preseason in the history of quarterbacking. The year before that, there was injury because of Trubisky and Kenny Pickett. And how is that all going to play out? If Mason Rudolph's your quarterback coming in this year, it will be the least buzz there has been in a really long time for a Steelers season. I totally agree with that. I can't go through 17 games of Mason. And I like the guy. He's a good backup quarterback. There's value there at $4 million for the next 2 years.
He's a backup quarterback.
He's a backup quarterback. Maybe they would win 8 or 9 games. Play defense, run the ball, win 13-12. I don't want to watch that for 17 games. God, please, no.